Psalm 91. And I want to pick up reading at verse number 8 for the sake of reading the scripture and take my thought from a couple of the scriptures down at the bottom of the chapter. And I want to pick up reading in verse number 8. The Bible said, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath not known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of that. Let's look to him in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, already for the day you've given. It's been a joy and a blessing to be here. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good spirit of the people and your divine presence. Thank you for the songs that we've enjoyed. I ask you, Lord, to bless those that are away from us, those that are sick. I pray especially for Miss Norman today. You'd help her and Brother George in the loss of his sister. I pray, Lord, you'd comfort them and help them. And I pray, Father, that you'd meet the needs of others that are here in our midst, maybe some listening by the way of radio. I ask you, Lord, to give grace and power today as we try to preach the Word of God. Give us liberty and unction. Help us revive your people, save sinners, glorify the name of Jesus. And we'll praise your wonderful name for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 14. He said, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name." Now, I want to preach for a little while. I'm going to preach out of this chapter, Lord willing, again tonight, out of these same verses, but on a little different thought. But I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, around the thought of some features in the character of the godly. You know, God's people are godly because he's made them that way. And because we are godly, we ought to be men and women of character. And we're living in a generation, in a society, that doesn't put much stock in character these days. It's even crept into our political arena. There's not much character in our politicians today. There's not much character in many preachers today. And I hate to say it, but there's not much character in the pew today as well. But God's people are godly. They've been made godly by his grace, and therefore the character that they have is a godly character. It's not just a worldly character, an earthly character, natural character, secular character, but it is a godly character that has been placed within us by the gift of the Spirit of God that the Lord has given to those that believe upon him. I want to say a few things about the text, and I hope I can say it in a way you can understand it, okay? But prophetically speaking, in these verses now, we see that God the Father is making mention of the glorious blessings that he has bestowed upon his Son. But there are some verses, like verse number 11, where the psalmist gives reference to what God has already promised to his Son. Notice verse 11. He said, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee and to keep thee in all thy ways." Even in the temptation in the wilderness, the devil used verse number 12. Tried to use that on the Lord as he tempted him when he tried to get him to jump from the pinnacle of the temple. He said, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways." And in great respect, this is a psalm that is written concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, if you look at it closely, and I'm not going to take time to try to delve into it in this manner, you'll see three different persons speaking here. You'll see God the Father speaking here about the Son, and you'll see the Son speaking about us, and then you'll see the psalmist speaking about the Father and the Son. But when we come down to the real interpretation of the Scripture and the context that it's written in, we gotta come to the conclusion that the psalm was written by this man. God allowed his will and his way to write it. God certainly inspired it, but God allowed man to write it. And this man is speaking about himself and the godly character that you and I, that he had, and that you and I, by the grace of God, ought to possess in our Christian life. Now, I want to say once again, there's not much character in people today. People in the main would just as soon look you in the face and tell you a lie as they would tell you the truth. There's people today that just as soon beat you out of money as they would pay their bills. And there's just not a whole lot of character in the hearts and lives of God's people today. But you and I that are saved have a godly character. And I've only got three little points this morning, and they're simple. It mentions here three things about the godly character that belongs to every Christian, everyone that's been born of God. And they're not that deep. I don't think you'll have to study too hard to get a hold of them. But I will say, number one, we ought to have the character in us to love God. We ought to love God. We ought to have a godly love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 14, our text says, because he has set his love upon me. And I will say that we ought to love the Lord. He set his love. He said he set his love upon me. Now, the Lord himself said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 7, concerning you and I, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know, I underline those three little words in that verse of Scripture, all, and all. And I looked that up in the Greek, and believe it or not, it means all. Even in the Greek, it means all. And so the Lord honestly meant here that we are to love him with all of our heart. That is, our heart belongs to none other. When we got saved, we gave our heart to God. It belongs to him, and he ought to set supremely upon our heart. That means there's no room in our heart for self. There's no room in our heart for the society that we're living in or Satan. There's no room in our heart for possessions and this and that, but only for God. We have given him, or we are to love him with all of our heart. Then we're to love him with all of our soul. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's a hard one to understand. To love God with all of your soul. Now, I got a little grip on what the soul of man really is, but to love God with all of that soul. He has redeemed the soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But I'm glad that God has redeemed the soul of man. And the soul is going to live forever in heaven or hell, one of the two. And I think the reason we're loving there, he's redeemed the soul and has given it life everlasting in heaven in a place of bliss rather than in a lake of fire and a place of torment. And so we ought to love him with all that soul. And then we ought to love him with all of our mind. Now, boy, I'm telling you, somebody said, that's not very deep. Well, won't you try doing it? Why don't you try to give God all of your mind one time? I mean, we think upon everything under the sun all day long when our minds ought to be focused upon God. We ought to be single-hearted enough to focus our minds upon the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're prone to wander, we're prone to stray, and our minds are prone to think upon everything else, and especially our troubles. Our mind, the devil will influence our mind to think upon our troubles and upon our problems rather than thinking upon God. Now, I'm going to tell you, we've set our mind to think upon the Lord. You may be amazed at the joy that it would put down in your soul, down in your heart, if you just set your mind to think daily upon the Lord, okay? And so we are to love the Lord our God. Now, it ought to be a love of gratitude. I mean, we ought to be thankful people. Is that not right? We ought to be thankful people. We love Him for what He has done, and we love Him for what He is still going to do. Now, when I look back at what God has already done in my life, He has delivered me the evils that He has delivered me from. And ladies and gentlemen, when I talk about the evils that God delivered me from, I'm just not talking about delivering me from the evils of hell. I'm talking about God has delivered you and I from the evils of this world. Brother Andy just testified a few minutes ago how that if it hadn't been for God, he probably wouldn't have a wife today. I'm telling you, that's one of the evils of the day, is the parting away of man and woman. Now, I'm telling you that God is able to deliver us from that kind of a lifestyle. I don't mean to be ugly and unkind, but I'm telling you, divorce is running rampant in our country today. But God is able to deliver us from the evil of divorce. Come on in the house now. Somebody say amen. And there's all kind of evil, sickness and this and that, that can come into our life. But we ought to praise Him because He has delivered us from these evils. And I want to say hurriedly that in our gratitude, we ought to be thankful for the blessings that He bestows upon us. Boy, I'll tell you, we ought to sing that old song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. I'm going to, if we all were to just sit down and take time to count our blessings that God's blessed us with, it'd take a long time to get the job done. Amen. You know why? Because the Bible said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And when you look back over your life at everything that has happened in your life, I'm not just talking about from the day you got saved to now. I'm talking about all the way back in your life. Don't throw a stone at me. But I'm talking about even back when the providence of God, when the providence of God was working in your life to bring you to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. Amen. That's right. Do you think that it was luck? It was luck when that sniper shot that antenna off that PRC 25 radio of mine? I don't think it was luck. I think it was providence, friend. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Do you think it was luck? That day we walked into that ambush and lost 8 men in an ambush, and Brother Hall didn't get a scrape, and the boy 3 foot in front of me got killed. Do you think that was accident or by luck? Oh no, I think that was through the providence of God. I'm telling you, if you look all the way back through your life at the blessings God has bestowed upon you, hey, and another thing, look back and think at that time God gave you the right man or the right woman to spend your life with. I'm telling you, God has bestowed blessings upon you and I that we ought to really be thankful for. And what about that day that He met us at the cross, hallelujah to God, and revealed Himself to us in all His power and glory, and delivered us from the power of sin, birthed us into the family of God, and made us God's dear child. Oh, I'm telling you, the blessings that God has blessed us with. I'm going to tell you another reason we can't count them all. He said in Ephesians 1, he said, for God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that's a lot of blessings, friend. And if you want to get technical about it, He daily loads us down with benefits. Now, He didn't just take up space writing that. He said daily He loads us down with benefits. Can we not love Him for those benefits? Somebody said, what benefits? Praise God, I'm glad we got air conditioning in here today. Amen. I'm glad we got bathrooms back there that you can use and push a lever and that'll take care of the problem. Amen. That's right. I'm glad we got electricity. I'm glad we got refrigerators and cook stoves to cook on electric and gas. I'm telling you, just a whole lot of things. I'm glad we got warm houses overhead to live in. I remember as a boy, you could look through the cracks through the floor, cracks through the wall, cracks through the ceiling, and had a path out back. But whoo, what God has blessed us with in this generation that we're living in. I want to say this. We are the most blessed generation that has ever lived upon planet Earth, and yet we're the most ungrateful generation that has ever been here. We ought to be thankful to God for what God has done
for us and in us and through us for His honor and for His glory. Amen. That's right. That's right. The love of God, it's a love of gratitude. And what about the glory which awaits us in the future? Woo! Hallelujah. Can we thank you for that? Praise God, I'm glad I don't have a cabin in the corner of glory land. That song said, just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land. I'm not going to a cabin, folks. I've got a mansion waiting on me up there. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. And I'm telling you, I have not seen it. Ear has not been told about it completely. Of the things that God has in store for them that love Him. I'm telling you, I've never seen that mansion, but I'm telling you, I'm getting itchy in my soul. I'm starting to get a little want to in my heart to see that hope. You know what's going to make it so wonderful? Hey, these loved ones that have gone on before us that we know that are in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, that are going to be there in a mansion. I got a funny feeling God's going to put those loved ones we know right side by side, row by row, and we're going to live close and knit together up there. Somebody said, why? Because we're a family, and that's the way families ought to live. Somebody say amen right there. My God, I'm telling you, it's a love of gratitude. Amen. When we think upon these things, our hearts should glow with gratitude and affection for Him. Boy, just to think upon them things. Our heart ought to just be set aflame to think of what God has done for us, what awaits us in heaven. Hallelujah, what He's doing for us now. We could be frying in hell, but we're not. Amen. We could be one of these homeless guys sitting out here on a park bench, but we're not. Amen. Come on, we could still be a drunk out on the street down at the pool hall, but we're not. Amen. We're in the house of God on Sunday. We could be at home nurturing a hangover, but we're not. Amen. We're in the house. Isn't that wonderful? I didn't have to get up this morning with a headache. Didn't worry about where I'd been last night. I know where I was at. Sitting in that green chair writing out these notes so I could preach to you this morning. Amen. I want to thank God for a green chair. Amen right there, buddy. Thank God for the little things of life. Amen. That's right. Boy, He's good to us. Brother Gray and I went hunting. I don't know whether we went hunting or the mosquitoes went hunting. Mosquitoes might have went hunting. We got down there at Brother Chuck's on Friday, and he took me down there at that blind. And I'm sitting there, and all at once these little flies start flying around, and gnats, and they're buzzing, and here comes some yellow jacket. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And you know them big little, I call them sweat bees. They look like baby yellow jackets. They're little yellow things, but they're about that long, and they're all around. Now I'm kind of, you know, sitting there trying to dodge them. I said, Lord, man, we got to do something about this. So about that time, the sun starts going down. And I said, praise the Lord, man. God are made now. All them little bugs and things just moved away. But all at once I heard something. I said, uh-oh. And it wasn't long because it was just... And I looked at them. Hey, them little things we call mosquitoes. I wasn't hunting. They come hunting me. I didn't find a deer, but I'm going to tell you something. They found me. Amen. That's right. And I sat there and wondered, I said, why don't these things go eat a tick and leave me alone? Both of them likes blood. They can get blood from a tick, same as they can from me. Won't they go find a tick or something and leave me alone? But they never, I sat there had a mask and I just kept doing like this and doing like this. And I said, Lord, I said, brother, if Brother Joe don't come on, I'm getting on that four wheeler and getting out of here. I can't tolerate this no longer. About that time, I seen Brother Joe come up the trail. I said, praise God! Amen! Let's get out of here. Thank God I was either alive. But we had a good time. But you know what I was going to say? I bought an old hunting stand years ago. It's a chain up in a tree. I've had it out at Benny's. I've had it out at Brother Stephen and Brother Ricky's Uncle Wayne's house. Now it's sitting down there behind a brush pile. And I was reared back in that chair, boy, just sitting there in the life of Riley. Taking it easy. Hunting deer or turkey or... mostly anything else that come out in the way. Amen. But you know what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God has blessed us. Amen. Amen. And we ought to be
thankful, we ought to have some gratitude in our heart toward God for what is done. Not to mention the sufferings of the Son of God, how He suffered, shed His blood, and died on Calvary to redeem our souls, amen, from sin, and for, amen, from the wrath of Almighty God that's coming on fallen humanity. That's right. Amen. We ought to think about His power. Think about He is our power. He's our peace. He's our purpose. He's our heavenly possession. He's our praise. He's our prince. He's our potentate. He is everything. He is everything. We are big zeros and He is everything. And I'm telling you, when we finally realize, hey, that we're a big goose egg and He is everything, God will abundantly bless His people. Our problem today is we got to strut our stuff and think we're somebody. Put on a $500 Hart Schaffner and Marks and really think we're somebody. I'm going to tell you, you can put on all the clothes you want, Hart Schaffner and Marks suits and otherwise, and that don't make a man and that don't build character. Character comes from the heart, friend. Character comes from the soul. Character comes from the inner man. And it's there by God and God only. Somebody say amen right there. Amen, that's right. Are you listening now? I want to say secondly, it's a love. It's a love of esteem. Now somebody said, preacher, what on earth do you mean by love of esteem? Well, we love Him not for what He's done, but for what He is. Amen. Sometimes we forget who and what God really is. And by the way, this is a more excellent love than that of gratitude. This love comes from the divine beauty of his character and life. This love is not determined by His blessings and benefits, but His beauty. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you love God for what He is? Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, some of you folks has not been here a while. You've never heard, may not have heard this. But when the devil came to Job, when the devil came to the Lord and talked to Job, he said, what about my servant Job down there, the Lord said. And Satan said, is God really enough? He said, pull that hedge down, take everything that He's got, and see if God's really enough. What he's saying is, take everything that a man has. He left Job sitting in ashes. Take all that we have, and is God Himself. Forget the blessings. Forget the benefits. Is God Himself really all that you and I need, ladies and gentlemen? Do we esteem Him that highly? Do we esteem Him that highly? That God is enough. He is all that you and I need. Oh, we sang that song, He is all I need. I wonder if we really believe that. I wonder what you and I would do if He jerked the rug out from under us. I wonder really how we would feel if God took what we had, including our children, and left us with absolutely naught. Would God still be enough for us? Could we still esteem Him in the beauty of His holiness? Hey, there's where we're to esteem Him. In His beauty, that beauty of His holiness. You realize how beautiful that holiness is this morning? I've heard men see a woman walking down the street or in a place, something you know, and her about half clad, looks something like some, well, I won't say what it's hard to say, but she's about half clad, and I've heard men say, man, she's beautiful. They don't know anything about beauty. Amen. Beauty's not in flesh. Well, thank God for pretty women. I think I'm married to a very beautiful woman. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to tell you, the beauty of God's holiness, amen, there's nothing. Come on now.
then there is nothing, may I say this, any more beautiful in a man or a woman than the holiness of God that radiates from their life because they have been born again by the grace of Almighty God. Oh, we ought to love Him because of the beauty of God's holiness. Now, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. I'll get to it in a minute. The beauty of His holiness, Exodus 15:11. When Moses had crossed that Red Sea, you'd think that when Moses crossed that Red Sea, that he'd say, "Oh, thank God for parting the waters. Thank God for this." But I'm going to tell you, in that song that Moses sang, when he come across that water, he said, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like thee, Lord, be glorious in holiness?" You know where His holiness is seen? Come on now. It is seen in every attribute of God, and I don't have time to stand up here today and preach all of them. His eternality. Always has been, always will be. His power does what He wills and wills what He does. His love. How He can love. Holiness. Holiness is what causes God to love you and I. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." I'm going to tell you why. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." Now, He looks down on creatures that are fallen and sees how sinful they are and compares them to Him and His holiness. Amen. That's why He loves us. He wants to create a new creature in us that will be conformed to the image of God, that we might be holy like He is holy. I'm telling you, there's beauty in the holiness of God. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. I believe I've just about run my head through a wall right now. Amen. Then we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29:2 said, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." There's not a name like that name. There's not a name like Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God for the name of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. They tell me in Mexico when a Mary, they call it Jesus. They tell me when a Mexican down there gets saved and his name is Jesus, that he changes his name because he realizes he's not on the same level with Jesus. And so he changes his name. But hey, there's no other name like that name. God's given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, are you listening? You want to hear about power and authority? Every knee shall bow, not a few. That includes me and you and everybody else. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Somebody said, "Oh, I'll escape that. I'll live my life with sin. I'll crowd, drink, I'll cuss, carry on, tomorrow, and somehow I'll get away from that." No, you won't. There's coming a day, friend, even if it's at the white throne judgment, you're going to get on your knee and you're going to say, "Jesus, that name above every name, is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Mark that down in your book. And if you're at the white throne judgment saying that, you're bound for hell. No need to begging. Too late to beg. Begging time is over. You should have thought about that when God had your time. Hey, now's the time. It's high time that men awoke out of their sleep. It's high time men got saved by the grace of God. Now is the right time. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Said, "Give unto the Lord glory, do His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Now, when was the last time you worshiped the Lord in the beauty of holiness? I wonder if we even worship the Lord. I wonder if this generation even knows what worship is. I'm convinced we don't. Men try to put on a show by hooping and hollering a little bit, and I'm all in for that, but that's not worship. Amen. Worship somehow is you and your own self, whether it's in a congregation or private, you and your own self getting a hold of the very heart of God and entering into the presence of Almighty God. Amen. And letting Him pour out His grace and mercy and love into your soul and personally let you know that He loves you. It will cause you to prostrate yourself at the feet of the Lord Jesus and look back up in His face and tell Him how much you love Him because of what He's done for you.
Amen.
Oh, buddy, just get lost in His love. Woo! Amen. I don't know about you, but I like getting lost in His love. Just get lost in it. I was preaching in Joel Heights one night, and I'm telling you, I fell off the edge of the mountain. I come to myself, I was crawling around on my hands and knees down in front of the communion table. Somebody said, now, preacher, that's a show. You call whatever you want to tell, call it. And I'm going to tell you, I got pretty high preaching before, friend.
Amen.
I wouldn't give a dime for a preacher that couldn't get high a little bit. I'm talking about spiritually high a little bit in his preaching. I've got my head up in the clouds every now and then, boy, and ain't nothing like it.
Yeah.
Praise God, I'm about ready to punch through the sound barrier right now.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord help God. If I could kick that pulpit plumb out in the middle of the floor and run about a dozen laps right now. I'm just telling you, friend. I'm telling you, thank God you're looking at one old boy. I'm glad God came to this old broken sinner boy on his way to hell and lifted me out of the miry clay by His wonderful grace. And His tender hands, He lifted me, hallelujah, set my feet upon that solid rock, established my going, put a song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. And I want to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Woo! Hallelujah. Just don't know the reason we might not worship Him in the beauty of holiness because we might not be too holy.
Amen.
Are you listening? Now, not only the beauty of His holiness, but His love, a love of esteem is because of the brilliance. There's one more thing here about holiness. Exodus 28:36, and thou shalt make a plate, talking about the high priest, of pure gold, and grave upon it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord.
Yeah.
That's talking about the priest. I'm going to tell you, God has made us priests and kings, friend.
Yeah.
And I'm saying we ought to be holiness to the Lord. We ought to have a godly character. And a godly character has got to love God, and that love will produce a holiness in our life. Amen. That will build character and make somebody out of us. Now, not only the beauty of His holiness, but the brilliance of His glory. I don't have time to preach all this. I can tell you that right. But the brilliance of His glory. I think about the glory of God. Man, there's so many people never seen the glory. I think about old Isaiah there in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up.
Yeah.
Woo! And His train filled the temple. And the first thing that he saw those seraphims crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And the first thing He done, He fell down. And he said, I am a sinful man. I've got sinful lips. I dwell amongst the sinful people. I'm going to tell you what He saw that day. He saw more glory than He could handle.
Yeah.
He knew how to take care of it. You know what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John was on that Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the Lord, and they saw Elijah and Moses. They didn't know what to do. They were so consumed with all that glory. The Bible said that Jesus' brilliance was like the sun, as brighter than the sun. Oh, I'm talking about the brilliance of His glory. Are you listening to me this morning? Human eyes cannot look on the glory of Almighty God. It would blind you. It would blind you. I'm telling you, He is a glorious person, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, man, I mean brighter than the noonday sun. Man, you've never seen nothing on earth like Him. Never shall see anything on earth like Him. But when we get the glory, thanks be unto God, we'll not only behold the beauty of His holiness, we'll behold the brilliance of His glory as well. Bless His wonderful name. I want to thank You for that today, that He's allowed an old sinner boy like me to go to heaven, thank God, and see His glory in His fullness. We just get glimpses of it down here.
But up there, we're going to get the full load, friend. Woo-wee. That's right. They were so consumed. Peter probably lay there trembling. He said, Lord, is it good for us to be here? He said, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And a voice came and said, hear my beloved son. In him I'm well pleased. And Peter said, I better shut up. You think there wasn't glory on that mountain? Jesus transfigured before them. That's glory, friend. And what about that day old Paul was strutting down the Damascus Road, going down there to take some Jews back to Jerusalem. And all at once, there was a light brighter than the noonday sun shining around about him. Now, I'm going to tell you what blinded him. That light! Didn't I tell you man couldn't look on that light? It was the brilliance of that light that day that shined on old Paul that blinded his eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Human eyes can't look on that brilliance and that glory. Oh, the Lord said, Saul, kind of hard for you to kick against the pricks, ain't nobody. Said, ain't it about time you got right? You know God's been dealing with him for a long time. He held the clothes while they stoned Stephen to death. He held Stephen's clothes. I believe with all of my heart, that may be his thorn in the flesh. I believe he was tormented with that from the day God saved him till the day that he died. The memory of standing there holding a young man's clothes that cried out and said, Lord, lay not this to their charge. I wonder how many of them around there that it was laid to their charge. I wonder if after Paul got saved, he might have eased off into a private place somewhere and said, Lord, I want to thank God you heard Stephen's prayer that day. You didn't lay that to my charge. Hallelujah to God. Some of them might have went to hell, but praise God, I'm not going to hell. I'm telling you, I'm not proud anybody's going to hell, but I'm sure proud that I'm not going. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God, I'm glad I'm not going to hell today. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His holy, wonderful name. Somebody say amen right there. Yes, sir. Thank God I'm not going to hell. Amen. Then I won't say a love that is fixed, and I'll try to hurry. A love that is fixed. Notice he said there, because he has set. He's fixed his love. This psalmist had fixed his love. That expression, set his love upon me, indicates that it was a fixed affection. It is not because of, listen carefully what I'm getting ready to tell you. It is not because of our perfect love that God will deliver us. People got the idea they've got to be perfect to be delivered by God. But it's not our perfect love that causes God to deliver us. If it was, we'd never be delivered.
Amen.
Listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. But it is the will to love and to serve Him.
Amen.
It's the will to do it. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in, to start with, a body of clay that makes it real difficult on us.
Yeah.
And this body of clay is living in a world that makes it double trouble to us. And there's a devil out there that's not turning loose one bit that makes triple trouble to us. So what are you saying? I'm simply saying, hey, we're not going to arrive. I don't care what no preacher tells you. We're not going to arrive. There's flaws in us. There's flaws in our love. There's flaws in our Christian experience and everything about us. But I'm telling you what God looks at. God looks on our will. Do you really want to? Do you really want to love Him? God looks on man's heart and God knows what's in our heart. There can be a will to do and yet not the ability to get it done. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. That's right. I think there's a lot of men in the Bible that things they wanted to do, they found out they couldn't get the job done. They just couldn't do it. They wanted to, but they couldn't. They were captivated by this flesh, by this world. Hallelujah. But they had a will. I'm glad God looks on the will of man's heart. Amen. And He'll move us right along. He'll move us right along. I tell you, you'd be surprised. You've been saved any length of time, how much you really do love the Lord.
Amen.
If it wasn't for that love you had for Him, you'd be going back out in the world a long time ago.
Amen.
If it wasn't for that will to love Him more, you'd have been gone out in that world a long time ago.
Amen.
And God looks on that will to love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And delivers us in our time of need. I've got to hurry. I'm taking a lot of time here. Taking a lot of time. We ought to cleave unto Him. Like Barnabas said when he got to Antioch. Said when he had come. And when he seen the grace of God. He was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart. They would cleave unto the Lord. In other words, don't turn loose of Him, friend. Not for 1 minute. Grab a hold of His grace.
Yep.
Hang on. Hallelujah to God. Cleave unto Him. Just like a woman and a man cleave to one another when they're married.
Amen.
Cleave unto Him. Then I want to say secondly, godly character. Not only the love of God, but the knowledge of God. Look at verse 14. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He hath known my name.
Amen.
The knowledge of this man. This godly character has got knowledge behind it. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Because He hath known my name. Hey, the love of God and the knowledge of God are closely connected. We must love some. We must have some knowledge of God before we can love Him. Now, I don't care what nobody says. You don't know what I'm telling you. Somebody said, well, I got saved when I was 2 or 3 years old. I don't believe it. There has got to be some knowledge of God before you can love Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How that went over, but that's right. Hallelujah. Now listen to these 2 or 3 things, and I'll be done here in a minute. True knowledge leads to trust in Him. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee.
Amen.
They'll put their trust in thee. Do you really trust Him?
Amen.
If you know Him, you can trust Him.
Amen.
Paul said that I may know Him. If you know Him, you can trust Him.
Amen.
By the way, Paul had been saved a long time when he said that. Now, I'm going to give you a good illustration. My wife and I, we'll soon have the knot tied. How many years, sweetheart? 43. In January. 43 years. You know something? I didn't know bats about her when we got married. I didn't know she couldn't cook. I didn't know she couldn't bake biscuits. I know nothing about her. I just knew she was pretty and I wanted to marry her. And I'm going to tell you what, if I caught a boy, I went into a place one night and she was playing music. Some boys were sitting there clapping their hands and whistling at her. And I said, I walked right up on the stage. I said, that's it, boys. Manager come out there and said, what do you mean? I said, we're going home. You can't do that. I said, I already have. I just got back from Vietnam and I was just about ready to take on the whole crowd, buddy. But I took my bride and went to the house. You know why? I was eat up, boy. I couldn't stand them boys down there whistling at her. I didn't know she might have started whistling back at them. But now I've been married almost 43 years. Guess what? I know her. And because I know her, I can trust her. I'm not worried about what she's going to do. I trust my wife. Now I'm telling you, when you trust God, when you know God, you can trust Him. Not only with your soul, but with all of your life, being everything about you, you can trust Him. I got to hurry. Hallelujah. This knowledge is only attainable to the man who loves God, as we must have some knowledge of God before we can love Him, and so we must love Him before we can know much about Him. Then get a hold of this. Everyone, the Bible said, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
Amen.
He that loveth not knoweth not God. They go together. That knowledge and love, you cannot separate them. They go together. True knowledge leads you along and to be with Him. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He said in verse 23 of that same chapter, he said, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Whew. I don't know about you, but I got a longing in my soul to go home and to be with Him. Hallelujah. I've got a longing to look in the face of Him that saved me by His marvelous grace. Oh, yes, oh, I want to see Him. Yes, sir. I've got a tug and a pull and real knowledge of Him. You know who He is and what He is and what He's done and all of His glory and beauty and holiness. You will have a longing to see that person in your life. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. A few more days to get my loved ones in. Well, I want to see my loved ones saved. But I'm sure not going to ask Him to wait one day.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. He's not going to wait one day. He that comes, when He comes, He will not tarry. But He's coming. That's right. That's right. So knowledge leads to a longing to be with Him. True knowledge will keep us faithful to Him. True knowledge will persuade us. It will persuade us. Paul said, "I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." You know why? Paul knew Him. If you know somebody, you can be pretty well persuaded how they're going to react and what they're going to do. You can trust them, persuaded of them, you love them. It all goes hand in hand. Stay right with me. The last thing, and I'm done. Another character of the godly man is prayer to God. Verse number 15. He said, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him."
Amen.
Prayer. Prayer. I want to say the godly soul cannot live without prayer.
Amen.
If you're godly today and saved, you can't live without prayer. Everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar, friend.
Amen.
You don't see that in Lot's life, and you see what happened to Lot. The old Abraham built an altar.
Yep.
Godly men pray. They may not pray long, but they pray.
Amen.
They may not pray loud, but they pray. They may not be heard by millions, but they pray. They may not pray out loud or with their lips, but they pray. Hannah prayed, only her lips moved, but she prayed in her heart. And God heard that. You know why? God looks up on the heart. He's not interested in our rhetoric. He's interested in what's in our heart, ladies and gentlemen. That's what God's interested in. All this hoopla and baloney goes on today. People call praying. Most of it ain't bitten more or nothing than a bunch of noise. God looks upon the heart. Now, in times of need, we call upon God for grace to help him. For grace to help. Is that not right? When Paul's thorn in the flesh, he said, "Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord." And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul." So in time of need, man calls upon God. The godly man does for grace. I don't believe there's any godlier saint in the New Testament than Paul. And he called upon the Lord for grace. May I say, in times of joy, we call upon God in grateful praise. When was the last time that you just called upon Him? Said, "Lord, let me pray." When was the last time you really prayed and asked God? Said, "Lord, let me praise you. Let me go to church today and praise you. I don't care what nobody else thinks. I ain't worried about what nobody else thinks. Let me come into church and praise you. Worship you. Thank you. Be grateful in my heart. Let me come into the house of God and love you. Let my love overflow. Let my love get out of the cup and into the saucer."
Hey.
Praise God, it wouldn't hurt to get it out of the saucer and in the floor. Amen.
Hey.
Slide around in here, ain't like sliding in snot, boy. Praise God, I'm talking about having a time. Amen, God. Amen.
Yep.
Let her get out one time. You say down in South Carolina, them old preachers say, some of you young boys need to learn how to let that mule out of the barn.
Amen.
They just say you ought to know how to turn her loose one time. Worship God.
Amen.
Praise Him a little while.
Yep.
That's right.
Amen.
Then, that godly man in prayer calls upon God to acknowledge his dependence upon Him. If you don't depend upon God, you're in bad shape today.
Amen.
I'm closing with this note. And there are times when prayer turns into holy, blessed communion in which there are no petitions, but only intense and blessed realization of the presence of God and the adoration of Him, which humbles and purifies and strengthens the spirit. I've got to pray before, and I'm telling you, you've got to ask God for things, and before you know it, I done quit asking. I done quit praying and started praising. And I'm going to tell you, when I got done, I felt strong in God. Boy, I'm telling you, that communion in prayer will nourish your soul, your spirit. It'll humble you. It'll make you stronger in God. And anything that I know of. And anything that I know of. What about our godly character today? We got godly character? I certainly hope so. Let's stand together.